The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Coming to you cordless, everybody. It's Wednesday, December 20th, 2023. It's 11:02 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8:02 on the West Coast, 2:02 in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and 2 minutes after 10 p.m. in the Central Time Zone here where I'm sitting and where Jeff Meyer's sitting and even Jennifer Oliver O'Connell's sitting there joining us in just a minute. Welcome to this, another edition of Jim Peters at Night. I'm Jim Peters. I think this is episode number 63, if I'm right. If I'm right, I got my count right there. Hope you had a good day today. I maybe have to apologize for last night. I was so upset about the thing that happened at the Colorado Supreme Court. I basically couldn't finish my monologue. I couldn't. I lost my train of thought. So join us tonight. We have the At Night tag team together again for the first time. I've named them. This is Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from Red State and AsAGirlTurns.com, and Jeff Meyer from Conk News at Conk.com. They're coming on in just a second. I got a few announcements here I want to run by you. First of all, let me get a few announcements. Okay, so they're on tonight. Santa's joining us tomorrow, the special visitor from the North. And I've been told that Santa might be a little under the weather. I don't know. We'll find out, you know, so... he might have, a bottle of Jägermeister with him. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but we're going to find out tomorrow. So later on tonight, we got a bunch of not so much UFO news as science news. Actually, some really cool science news. This is the shit that goes under the radar and the regular news because no one gives a shit or understands it. But a couple of things have really, really, really cool have happened in the science space in the last couple of weeks. We've talked about one of them a couple of weeks ago, about the fact they finally were able to control a quantum entanglement. And only 2 weeks later, that led to something. So we'll talk about that. Next week, all week, we're taking the week off, starting the 25th, Christmas night. So that's the 25th through 28th. We're coming back. We are doing a show on January 1st, Monday. On Monday, January 1st, we are doing a show on Christmas Day night. It might not be that long. We have a very special announcement to make. We have a very special guest. But we're doing that on Monday. So we're starting a new year. That'll be our 5-month anniversary on the air, if I'm right, too. And we're starting a new year with a bang. We had a whole bunch of guests lined up for January. Stan Gordon, the famous UFO researcher, joined us, I think, on the 16th, I think. Ed Morrissey, the editor of HotAir.com, is joining us on the 23rd, both first-time guests. And I want to thank Mark Burano for last night. Unfortunately, the video crapped out through most of it. But I don't know if you heard it. He was very, very entertaining guy, and my God in heaven! And I even got something. I got something for the tag team here regarding that too. Something he touched on. So that's my announcements for tonight, and let's go right to it. You're gonna be entertained by a bumper for 12 seconds while I push a button, bunch of buttons. Here we go. Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Jennifer.
How are you?
Okay, we can hear you, too. We already tested. Jeff came on ahead of time, but you didn't. So I just want to make certain that you're good there. What's it like in Tuscaloosa tonight? Tuscaloosa.
Not in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, where are you?
I'm in the Shoals.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Did I get your...
No, Tuscaloosa was where the debate
oh.
was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, I'm
and
so...
the last time we talked.
Right, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you know, you don't live in Tuscaloosa. Yeah, you were. That was where the debate was. I got that confused in my little mind. Jeff is in at the second floor of a six-car garage in at his 10,000-square-foot house in Prior Lake, Minnesota. That's where Jeff is.
Nice.
And what's that stuff behind you? You got a tire there behind you, Jeff?
Dale Earnhardt tire.
Did that hit you in a race once? Or did you get leveled by a tire?
I was down close to the fence when it came off the car.
Yeah, right. That's right. Right. That's what I was thinking. All right, you guys. I wanted to dive right into this here because I was really upset about this and still am. This whole thing that happened in Colorado. So, you know, Rachel Maddow, our cohort over there at the fantastic MSNBC, she gets on TV last night and she says, well, you know, actually this isn't too bad because they do this in other countries too. And I'm thinking, no, that's the problem. that's exact. What are we, it's like we're a fucking banana republic. And meantime, I don't know if you guys saw this, the president of El Salvador gets on TV today and he says, well, you know, we're not going to let the U.S. lecture us about democracy anymore. You know, it's like, yeah. Right. And it's bullshit. It's just bullshit. Please comment.
I wrote another article that I wrote on Red State that Democrats seem to have some amnesia about the fact that we are a constitutional republic. Everything that they go on is about advancing democracy, saving democracy, and nobody blinks an eyelash.
No.
It's like, we are not a democracy. We are a representative republic.
And Jeff, is this going to come back to bite them on the ass?
You let them get on the ballot. You don't lawfare it away and,
no,
you know, be an activist judge. That's just so, it's unconstitutional.
I don't see how they don't think this is going to come back to bite them in the butt. I don't see this.
Oh, it will. It will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with
you. The will of the people.
Yeah, and that's what the Democrats never have a governor. Their pedal is to the floor, and at some point they're going to hit the wall. And I talked about this after the debate a couple weeks ago. The Republican Party has already purged itself because of people that they've made their electorate vote for, like Mitt Romney, John McCain, Bob Dole. I mean, we've had years of just mediocre, terrible candidates. Suffered the losses, and the Democrats haven't gone through this until Biden. And so, you know, this unfortunately takes your lifetime to live through this kind of crap. But I think it's awesome that Colorado, 12 other states have looked at this and said, yeah, we can't do that. Colorado, like a bunch of dummies, stuck their hand up.
Right. Yeah, right. Right. 12 states said no. They said, oh, no, we'll do it.
Yeah, I posted on X today that everyone that buys things from any business in Colorado should reduce their purchases down to 45% of what they normally would, just to reinforce that number 45. I mean, I'm going to boycott you and not do anything is just a stupid position to take. The position to take is I'm going to reduce my contribution or purchases from Colorado and make the whole state of Colorado pay for these stupid judges. If we see it in Minnesota, there's fewer things that happen in Minnesota because of the riots that our state caused to happen across the country and the world. Yeah. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
People don't have to do much other than use their wallet. And you can't do anything about it. If everyone cuts their purchases from Colorado businesses down to 45%, they'll feel it way quicker than hollering and screaming across the airwaves.
You know, Jeff, that's actually probably even smarter than just trying to boycott them altogether, because that probably wouldn't work. But if you cut your orders basically in half and everybody did that, holy shit, they'd feel it.
Yeah.
Well, the businesses would start...
Yeah.
complaining and talking about their Supreme Court and you need to do something about this.
Jennifer, I didn't see your piece in Red State, but I'm going to put that on our blog tonight. So if those of you who want to watch it or want to read that, we'll link to it. So, all right, now I got to run another idea by you, too. Ann Coulter says that she thinks the Republican Party's being played here. In other words, they're doing all this shit because they know the reaction for the conservatives will be to pump Trump up, and then he gets the nomination for sure, and then the Democrats kill him. But I got to admit, I'm not certain I see this. Because I don't know how. Ann Coulter?
Right. Seriously.
She's a has-been.
All right, that's right.
Yeah.
Looks good in a short skirt.
Maybe. We haven't seen her lately, so.
Well, that's true. You got a point there. I mean, she used to go on Politically Incorrect, but that shows how old I am. That was 25 years ago, you know?
She's I'm an old guy. She's aged out herself.
Yeah, right. I don't see how that figures, though. I mean, I just don't.
Anne has her own version of TDS. she really does.
Uh-huh.
Her own version of TDS. There's a version that's the rabbit foaming Bill Kristol version, and then there's a version that's her.
Uh-huh.
I'm a great conservative, and I I'm opposing Trump. It's like, okay, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And again, and who? It's like, does anybody really care what you think?
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
people are going to find news sources more like Red State, Jennifer, where you're at, conk.com. I mean, they're buggy whips. They don't even know it. You know, but because of this money that comes into those news sources, just because of the way the game is set up, they don't know. People don't pay attention to them.
Oh, well, Jeff, I mean, there's something just for history. I mean, the New York Times is 150 years old, you know. I mean, see, you get gravitas just from being around, no, if nothing else. I mean, they're complete fucking liars at this point.
People... That just because they exist doesn't mean people don't look at them just to chuckle to themselves. I mean, I watch MSNBC News every morning because I love to see the sexual tension between Joe and Mika.
Hold it.
It cracks me up.
Now, just a second. I don't watch this regularly anymore. I used to. But isn't the sexual tension kind of gone at this point?
Oh, no, because he still talks down to her and she gets this miffy look. I mean...
It's their version of foreplay, baby. Is
And then he talks about, you know, as a former Republican, it's like, you know, dude. To me, it's good entertainment in the morning just to see what angle they're going to take on everything.
Uh-huh.
Trump is a Nazi sympathizer, and he's reading Mein Kampf because he mentioned he never read it. Whatever the Democrats say someone's doing, that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they don't have any mirrors in their homes to look at the problem as they walk out the door. They blame.
Well, yeah, but you know, they wouldn't see the reflection anyway, so.
It's super interesting for me as I scour the news in the morning. And Jim, I think it was on Monday. I don't think it was with Mark last night, but I think on Monday you were talking of doing some UFO stuff.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, did they fake the moon landing? I mean, you spent $1 billion to get the rocket. Why wouldn't you land?
Yeah. Right.
You know how I look at things, right?
How's that?
So here's my take. Why would you risk, if the landing goes to hell, that the whole space program dies? So
well, you got a point there. That's true.
The money to get out, because no one can tell once that little bottle rocket goes far away.
Yeah.
And they can show it circling around. But why would you then risk trying to take that thing down in an unpressurized cabin with unpressurized suits to this moon if they faked John F. Kennedy or lied to us about what happened with John F. Kennedy, and they lie to us daily about UFOs, they can't pick and choose their lies. They lie about everything.
And you are right, Jeff, because if that had failed, especially if people had gotten killed, if those astronauts hadn't come back, we probably wouldn't have launched down the rocket for fucking 10 years.
Right.
You know? Yeah. You have a point there.
The leaders of the space age, yeah.
Say again, Jen? What was that?
Russia would be the leaders in the space age.
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned on that same broadcast, there's kind of an opposite rumors that's gone around that they did the whole thing a month ahead of time in private just to make certain they could do it. I don't know if you've ever heard that. They launched another rocket, you know, a month ahead of time, same three guys, sent them to the moon and brought them back to make absolutely certain they could do it because they didn't want to blow it on TV. You know, so I don't know. That makes sense, too. But, you know, but your point is well taken, Jeff. You're absolutely right. If they had fucked that up, it would have been lights out for NASA.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we won't know that. We wouldn't know the difference.
No, that's right. That's true.
So.
Oh, interesting.
Our governmental amoeba system, whatever you want to call it, continues to lie at every level to the citizens.
So I don't know about Tucker you guys. Carlson, go ahead, Jeff. Go. Finish.
Tucker Carlson says, there's a billion classified stamp documents. That's not a democracy. If the government can hide stuff from the citizens, we're just, you know, a different kind of serf.
And you're at this point, they classify fucking everything. I mean, yes. I've literally heard that menus in the commissary have been classified. I've heard that's actually real, you know? I mean, it's crazy. And the thing is, I don't know about you guys. I talk to my friends. What I've realized doing this job and working with you, Jeff, and I'm guessing that Jennifer, at this point, you is like once you start getting going down the rabbit hole of this shit, you realize everybody's lying about everything. I mean, Jeff's absolutely right. There's why lie only half the time when you can do it all the time. Why why stop?
Yeah, and the creative ways that they are finding to. Classification is no longer working. Thank you, Julian Assange. They're getting the social media tycoons and titans to try to control the information and control things and, you know, do deep fakes and, whatever it takes to try to gaslight the people.
Hey, go ahead, Jeff, go ahead.
No, I want to reaffirm what Jennifer's saying. And so it just builds on itself, right? You don't have like Zuckerberg or Dorsey, any of those guys or Gates that got that moonshot type growth. None of them diverge from getting to exposing this nightmare with what's happening to the citizens. They all stay packed together because they know if it unspools, their whole thing falls apart and then everything falls apart. So, I mean, just by that nature of that getting there to a Bezos level, they're not going to upset the apple cart.
No.
People expecting them to do it.
Yeah.
Say again, Jennifer. I didn't hear you.
They're not going to disrupt their gravy train.
No, they aren't. And then you realize, so I don't know if you guys heard my interview with Mark Morano last night, but he's talking about the same thing about the fact that, you know, talking about the old style Republicans, those people, and you were talking, I'm sorry, Jeff, were you talking about this before we went on the air about George W. Bush? And I can't remember, it all blends together to me, but all those people, they're basically out to protect their own interests. I mean, that's the primary, like the historical reason people hate Republicans is because they're fucking money grabbing bastards. But now the other parties are the other money grabbing bastards. It seems like, you know, and
well, not just money grabbing bastards, but also downright evil.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the Republicans, are money grabbing bastards who don't care about the country. But if you disrupt their money, they'll at least pretend.
That's true. That's true. Pretend. Yeah.
They never have pretend.
The modern Democrats have upped the game here. You're absolutely right. That's correct.
Yeah.
So I this was on the outline here today. And Jeff, funny you should mention this about Bill Gates. So he was at some seminar recently. He was talking about the future, you know, shit. And he's okay, so he's talking about AI and medicine, all this sort of stuff. And then he's talking about climate change. I started to realize that, well, he's one of the people propagating this myth because he's too smart to realize that this isn't a joke. I mean, you know, it's like if you follow the science, climate change isn't real. And that's what the Democrats do not want to. They're calling science, oh, follow the science, follow the science. No, the science tells you this is bullshit. That's the thing. And he's too smart of a human being to not know that. So I figure he's doing it for the same reason Morano said all these other people are doing it. And like you were saying, Jeff and Jennifer, because they just want to hold the status quo. That's the only thing, you know.
Not just hold the status quo, but Bezos, Gates, Zuckerberg, they're all about, you know, we have our corner of the world and we have the power to control people. I mean, Facebook, it really was built around the concept of, you know, we're just going to control people's behavior and you know, who they like and check them out and use their behavior to sell more product or advertise. And that desire, that seed that gets planted in you, it doesn't just go away. Just gets bigger and bigger. Well, let me control an election, Zuckerbucks. Let me, you know.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, let's control a continent. Let's do population control. These brown and black people don't matter. You know. So it's just a sickness in them. It's not even just about let's maintain the status quo and bring me money. No, it's about I am God and I want to control the world.
Hey, Jennifer, let me run an idea by you here. You just made me think of something. And I don't know if you just said this offhand or if I misheard you. Do you think this is the thing about controlling the world is mostly a male-dominated concept? I mean, I can go on here, and Jeff and I have talked about this previously on the air about how in some ways liberalism is a feminine-oriented concept. It's like it's generated by, not feminism, but feminine, you know? So, and of course I'm making a terrible stereotype here, but I was just wondering, does the opposite, do you think the opposite is true about controlling the world? Do you think that's a male thing?
Could be, you know, most of, you look at the Davos and the World Economic Forum and it's mostly populated with
men. Yeah, it's mostly men, right. Right. Yeah. Jeff, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the nature of nature, of human nature.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so to think you're going to unwire that, it's just, they won't acknowledge it. It's not good to acknowledge. You know, they'll take all sorts of angles on it, but that is, you know, if you have if Bezos, someone had a bigger boat than Bezos, he'd sink the one he just built.
Yeah, that's right.
Just he would. Game.
He would. It would become a shoal somewhere.
Yeah, and to me, that's the difference. And this is why the media's pummeling of Trump day in and day out. Again, that's why I watch MSNBC, because they're like a dog with an endless food in their dog dish. They just keep going back to it. And of all the candidates from all 58 years of my life, Trump is the only one that made his money in the system from, you know, working within the confines of business and growing a business that isn't doing what Zuckerberg or Gates, any of those guys. He took it to the people and said, this thing has got you handcuffed. I'm coming in here to unhandcuff you. And he thought it was like a business where if someone wasn't doing a good job, he could fire them. He didn't understand when he said the swamp, he didn't understand that meant every swamp creature, state, local, and federal would turn against him. And
he didn't understand the miasma of government.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You have decades of people. The way the Bush is a dynasty, you have family dynasties in the CIA.
Yes.
You have family dynasties in the Department of Defense. It's the same thing but you don't know their names.
Yeah.
that's part right. of it. You don't know who these people are, and they don't want you to know who they are. They just
even talking about Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski literally grew up in the White House. I mean, her and Amy Carter played together. I mean, Jesus, you know, how much more inside can you get? I mean, shit.
Right. And that's that tie that the media, the founders set that up, that the media would be the check and balance for the working class that they had to be productive as workers, but the media would keep an eye on this government and tell the workers they're either doing this is good for you or this is bad for you. And just over the last 200 years, they've melded the media to be the spokesperson to convince you the government and what they're doing, which is they do no good, is really against you. But if you think that, they'll single you out and cancel you. And Trump just will not lay down. And I mean, he will be known as the George Washington that is taking the knee, praying to God. And if anyone can bust this up, it's him.
Yeah.
So Colorado is a victory for busting up the swamp.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the end, it will come around to be one of the great things.
It's also a reflection of, again, how they actually view the people.
Yes, yes.
We don't matter to them except when they want us to vote a certain way. Or, you know, it's like you're just manipulable tools.
Yeah.
And smart conservatives in Colorado need to rise up and say that this will not stand.
Yeah, so let me, you're talking about the news organizations, like we were, Jeff. Let me throw this out to you. So I assume both of you noticed that in the last few days, especially last weekend, all of a sudden there's like major press, like the Washington Post and the New York Times are writing articles about the Biden family corruption. And they have never, they really haven't done this before. And a lot of people are thinking now that the word has gone out inside their community that we got to get rid of the old bastard. Is this the way you see this?
It's time for him to go.
Yeah.
I mean, they're teeing up Gavin. They've been teeing up Gavin for a while. Speaking of press, on the opposite end, you have them writing all these puff pieces. It's now Gavin Newsom's time. Wouldn't Gavin Newsom make a big, great president? Gaslighting about that debate where he got creamed.
Yes.
By Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
Gaslighting, saying, "Oh, you know, he won, and DeSantis cheated." And it's so you have them finally revealing quote unquote stuff that Red State and everyone else has been reporting forever about Biden and his corrupt family, yeah. And you have them revealing that as well as they're puffing up Gavin and saying, "Oh, you know, look at what he did. Isn't this wonderful?"
So
we're doing our best to be the pen that pricks that.
Some people are floating the idea that right after the first of the year now, in the next couple of weeks, Joe's going to come out and say, "You know, I've had a change of heart. My health is failing. I'm going to drop out." I mean, I don't know.
I think you know, don't quote me forever on this, but I think
you realize you're on television, right? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I think Jill started that kind of planted that seed, shall I say?
Uh huh.
Well, maybe we won't run. Maybe we can. You know. So I suspect that I don't know if it's going to be January, but I suspect something may happen before Super Tuesday.
Yeah. Because I don't. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
And I think it's going to have, it has to be Jill. I mean, we've all had grandfathers, and whether you knew them or you heard about them, those guys, you're not going to, Joe Biden isn't going to say, "I'm done."
Mm-hmm. I don't see him saying it either.
Guy.
That's right.
Yeah. You're going to have to, she's going to have to somehow do the, we are done. And then he disappears.
Yeah.
And you just see him waving and shuffling his feet.
Well, you look at it from their point of view. It's worked for 47 years. Why won't it work for a couple more, you know? That's the way old men think.
Well, for him, yes. But for her, she also doesn't want to lose her family fortune.
Yeah.
Because of that idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do.
There's also rumors floating around that, you know, now that Hunter has kind of become the fall guy, that there may be some Epstein business happening. So.
Yeah. Right. No, it's true.
That's floating around as well.
I also don't think if Biden declared he wasn't running again, I think he could, what's the lack of a better word, tastefully pardon his son. I think he could get away with it. If he was running for another term, I don't think he could. I don't know. And the thing is, it's taxes, and anybody knows, anybody who pays taxes, anybody, especially Jeff, you know this, if you run a business, if you don't pay your taxes, man, you're fucked.
Right. I mean, they don't let up.
No, they don't. They do not let up. They have a 97% conviction rate. The IRS does, you know. It's like you can get away with anything in America except paying your taxes. That's how they got Al Capone, you know. You know, he killed a bunch of people and ran a bunch of illicit businesses. Nope, he didn't pay his taxes, and he ended up in Sing Sing. You know, shit. Right. So.
Yeah, don't mess with that. You can mess with anything. Kids.
Yeah, drugs, right, anything. Yeah.
Do not mess. Don't.
Don't mess don't. With the government.
Yeah.
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 Don't show that there's a crack in their system of collecting taxes and you got away with it, that they will not leave you as an example of hope.
My accountant calls them the American Gestapo. So, you know, that's what they are. Hey, I want to move on to something here, folks. So you saw this thing about how supposedly the Pope has decided that the church can now bless gay couples. Have you seen this? Now, I've been going on about this for a couple nights now. And now there's other news outlets that have been talking about the same thing. That's actually not what it was, but it actually said it changed nothing. What what the Pope released, and what are they called? They're called doctrines, or I can't remember what the thing.
Divinity.
Yes, thank you. And this was fairly long, and I read most of it, and I don't think the vast majority of the press didn't. It really didn't change anything, but it seems like. Now, the press has decided they are going to force the issue just by relentlessly reporting the fact that they did. It seems like that's the goal here. Have you guys gotten that impression?
100%. Yeah, they want the Catholic Church to capitulate, and they're going to force him into, because they have the power of lying right to your face. It doesn't say that. It's like the no... gay sex law and that Ron DeSantis was going to pass. He never said any of that.
But yeah.
The media creates that narrative. Right. Me and Joe, they said that the four Supreme Court people in Colorado were Republican. They were not.
No, they weren't.
They were, but they said it blatantly. They flipped it. The three dissenters were the Republicans and the four that voted to kick Trump off the ballot were Democrats. They just lie. I mean, it's just, and if there's no one, if you can't come to the truth or the safe zone or the ghoul, how do you, they can just run these lies into the truth. And they're going to do that to this huge thing called the Catholic Church, a global organization.
Yes, right. Yeah. And they are. And first of all, Jeff, there's no way in hell you can get on TV on MSNBC and say that without that is not a mistake. There's just no way. There's no way in hell you can make that sort of stupid fucking mistake. You know, that's beyond incompetent. You know, they lied. They're lying.
Well, and the Bible has all sorts of stories, if people want to call them stories, about when this kind of stuff happens, when you force God's hand. Bad things happen to a lot of people. I mean, it's just, he'll let it keep going. And then when he sends in the correction, you don't want to be on the wrong side.
No, no. I will say that in a different way, Jeff, karma is real. It's a very practical, real thing. It happens. You fuck enough people, they will fuck you back. You know, that happens, you know? And I don't even know if it's divine intervention so much as just humans just reacting too, you know?
It's divine intervention.
It is simply that, but divine intervention is a system that is set up,
uh-huh.
like creation, like gravity, for instance.
Yeah.
Right. Gravity is, you don't oppose gravity. You oppose gravity, what happens? You go splat. It's the same That's thing right. with any of these systems that are going on, that God says, this is the way it works. This is the way I set it up.
Yeah.
You oppose it.
And here we're actually talking about the word of God. That's the real amazing. Yes. That's the thing that I find amazing. So they're lying, and they're just going to keep on lying because, you know, and so I read something today that where somebody said, now, you know, so Ed Morrissey at hotair.com, he wrote this article when this first came out. He said, no, this is wrong. And then I got on the stupid TV tube and I said, no, this is wrong. And now other people have been doing that too. And some of the reporters are saying, no, there's people who are saying this is wrong, but it isn't. No, it's like a double lie. No, you lie, you double down, you lied twice. It's like, yes. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But have these people apologized for the Russia collusion, which has gotten proven ad infinitum? Have they apologized for the lies and the garbage that they peddled on COVID that actually did kill people?
Okay, but Jennifer, tell me, is it getting even more blatant, even more brazen? That's the thing I'm wondering. I mean, they're now, they're,
like,
I mean,
they got away with it.
Just like Jeff was talking, I mean, you know, Jeff's talking about on MSNBC, they're just plainly, utterly lying. I mean, it's like that, you know, they used to try to couch this as errors, mistakes, corrections. You know, we'll put it in the correction column in the B section of the Times or whatever. Now they're not even trying anymore. They're just lying. It's like,
yeah.
I just find
that. And again, it goes back to, we do not respect you. You belong to us. We control you. We control the world.
Yeah. We control the vertical. We control the horizontal. I suppose I'm the only person in here that knows what that means, right? It's like, am I? That was from the Twilight Zone. No, it was from, it wasn't from the Twilight Zone. It was from, oh, God damn it. What was it called? Oh, shit. Well, I'll just waste our time trying to think of this, so I'm not going to even bother.
Okay. I want to give a modern day example of fulfilling prophecy, right?
Yeah. Please.
So you have, there was two articles at conk.com, and I forget the news sources. I don't have my phone with me anyway, about how small retailers are saying that their Christmas sales or holiday sales are down 78%. There is no, again, and in business, to build your model around, we're going to get all of our revenue in those last 30 days because of some holiday. It's just a bad model, because if something goes wrong, the power goes out, the weather doesn't, you risked 11 months of dragging your butt trying to be successful to bank on. So this is how I look at this stuff.
Hold it, Jeff. I got to ask you though. I mean, but that is true. There's a lot of businesses that are building their model on that, right? I mean,
well, they have. So,
yeah.
I mean, that is how it's been for, let's say, 100 years.
Okay.
Of retail,
all right. Right.
So, but 30 to 40 years ago, they started this thing of, it's not Merry Christmas, it's Happy Holidays. Now, we're a Christian country. If you believe in, if you're, you know, Jewish and Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, whatever your other deal is, the mass people, majority of Americans believed in Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
They changed that to Happy Holidays. So now you've changed this dynamic of what you're doing for this season, which the retail business was built on. Now they've won the Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas. That 10 years, 15 years ago, that was just it was a fact. You are not going to say Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting this, the wave that follows is, well, what's so important about spending all your money after November 20, Black Friday? And now there's money's harder to have. This is like the culmination of the fulfillment of the prophecy. You dropped Merry Christmas and the reason for the season, the birth of Christ, to, no, it's about buying stuff. Well, the buying stuff, there's nothing to tie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Humanity to it. And so now this prophecy is fulfilled.
That's really interesting. I never thought about that, Jeffrey.
There will be tons of small businesses that die this Christmas season because, one, Bezos came in and now he's taken 45% of their sale, if you want it sold on Amazon. But the other thing is, it's not the Christmas season, it's the holiday season. It's like saying, I'm a Vikings fan because we might win the Super Bowl. No! No!
Well, if you notice, they modified the language of it's the season of giving to try to, you know, stoke people's fire to want to give.
Yeah.
But then, as you said, well, why are we giving? What's the point?
Yeah, and also, it's
about an ultimate gift was given.
Yeah.
So not only do we want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we also want to bring gifts. And, you know, the wise men, it's representative of the wise men bringing gifts in honor. So we honor each other.
But, you know, Jeff has a really great point, and that is if you take the actual holiday out of it, at what point, what's the point?
There is none.
If you take the heart out of it.
I just
an article at Red State about Father Christmas. And that is the heart of the holiday, that we have a father that gives good gifts. And Father Christmas, Santa Claus are symbolic of that. But if you want to keep killing that symbol, now, you know, I think in England they're arguing about whether to get rid of Father Christmas. And it's just like, sorry, but if you take the guts out of something, nobody's going to come. You know, nobody's going to pay attention.
I don't know if you guys have been following this. You know, up in Britain, they're just fucking screwed. I mean, what's going on over there is terrible. It's way worse than what's going on here. I mean, they've completely shut down any sort of real free speech. Wales has even passed laws against, you know, you can't say certain things. And it's just really terrible. I mean, I hope they get it back. I hope they figure it out. But, hey, let's move on to something else here since you touched on this, Jeff. And that is, and this kind of gets back to the thing about wholesale line. So I don't, in the business press and the economic press, I'm reading constantly completely conflicting things. Like one is, I just read today that consumer confidence for December is amazingly at an all-time high. On the other hand, Americans are completely maxing out their credit cards, you know? So, and then Murray Sabrin comes on the show and he says, we're going to have a major depression next year. And then there's a whole bunch of people, and Harry Dent got on CNBC a couple days ago and said the same thing. He said, there's going to be a major crash of the economy. And then everyone else says, oh, no. There isn't, you know? And I don't know what to think. And I'm under the impression, kind of like what you guys are saying about politics, is that I think people are lying just to kind of keep the whole gravy train going, you know? I don't know. Any thoughts? Jeff, this is your milieu.
Well, yeah, it's like the moon landing. Why risk? I mean, that's a big risk to say how bad the economic shift is. And here's people say, well, in the 80s, I paid 15% for a loan and blah, blah, blah. Well, it incrementally went up there over a long period of time, right? It wasn't, we have people with 3% mortgages and 8.5% mortgages within a 14-month period.
Yeah, right.
That's economic disparity for the functioning working class. That can only end in a lot of trouble when the 8.5%ers have to refinance to try to get down to 6.5%.
And then Jeff, not to mention the fact that overall, on average through the country, real estate prices have gone up 50% in the last 3 years. Correct. You know, correct, that too. Yes. So now all of a sudden, things that were very affordable 3 years ago between your mortgage and your price now are completely out of reach. It's really amazing.
So if the homeowners are now becoming apartment dwellers, and so that part of the American dream of having your own house and you get your lawnmower. I mean, the best thing for our economy is a first-time home buyer. They don't have shit.
Right.
They need a broom.
Right.
You know, they need a toilet brush.
Right.
All that first-time money helps boost our retail economy. Well, if they're stuck in an apartment without losing that dream.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, you just moved, right?
I did.
And did you kind of come in before the storm, or what happened there?
I I think so. I mean, we didn't buy. We're renters.
Oh, okay. All right.
But at least we, you know, are renting at half the rate than we were in California.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I'm going to rent, I don't want to be paying three times a mortgage is basically what you pay in California.
Jennifer, I lived there 40 years ago. I don't see how people could do it now. I don't.
It boggles the mind.
Yeah.
Three jobs, roommates, you know, I don't know either.
I've told this story before. When I left, I lived in the same apartment in LA for 4 years. When I left there, I was it was one bedroom, about 800 square feet, in a reasonably decent building, not luxurious, but not shit either. When I left there, I was paying, this is 1984, I was paying $480 a month in rent. I happened to be cruising around apartments.com just to see what's going on. I was like, to see what's going on. And it turns out my very same unit, the actual apartment I was in, was up for rent in that building, $3,600. Yep. You know, shit. God, unbelievable. You know? And where I'm...
And all the energy to afford that new rent brings along this higher tax rate, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if there's anything people should still stay frustrated with is... they never say you've paid enough in taxes.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so there's no threshold of achievement there, which is super discouraging to the human mind.
Like, yes.
Oh, I paid my house off, but you didn't pay all your taxes.
Well, yeah.
And so.
Do you recall when, during the pandemic, when they were talking about cutting payroll taxes? For a period of time, and the Democrats were up in arms, and Nancy Pelosi was having fits because people would realize how much they get raped by those taxes if they had done that.
Yes,
and they didn't want people. People are oblivious. Nobody pays attention to FICA and all the other stuff. It's just kind of like, okay, I got this much and cool, and they go and pay their bills and do their spending or whatever.
Yeah.
But once they see that gap between, oh my God, this is how much you're taking from my paycheck,
right?
It'll be all over.
Yes, yeah, and to me, that's where for the lower class and the lower trying to achieve class. I don't know if that's actually a class, but the ones that are trying to break out, that's why they're trapped. Even if they try to break out, the tax system keeps you pinned to the mass, the masses, just because they take, you know, at least 30%.
When they want more all the time. This is the part I don't understand. It never ends. It's like,
and that's it. What's in
it? And they try to find new and unique ways to take more.
And also unique ways to spend it. It's like the amount of waste in government. I mean, I don't, you know, everyone's bitches about this forever for millennia, but still, I mean, now I heard that what was, they wanted $600 million to do. What was it? I can't remember. It's like, you know, LA spent $1 billion last year on homelessness, and homelessness went up 12%. It's like, what the fuck? $1 billion? That's still a lot of money, you know?
It goes to the homeless, and it's called the homeless industrial complex.
Yeah, there's an industrial complex for everything, Jennifer.
Big CEOs over these corporations raking in big bucks.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of contractors who make a shitload of money, and nothing ever really happens.
And nothing gets resolved, and
yeah,
they don't want anything to get resolved.
That's right.
They'd have to work. They'd have to actually find a job.
That's right. Yeah. I have a note here, kind of a corollary to all this sort of stuff is supposedly right now, 36% of all the office space in San Francisco is vacant, over a third of it. Yeah. Well, that's not good. You know,
I forget the last major corporation that bugged out. I forget the name of which corporation, but basically shuttering their doors because can't handle the drugs, can't handle the crime. It is not safe for our employees. That's also a major factor. It's not just, it's not safe for people and we're getting robbed blind. It's, we can't get our people to work because they're not going to come to work if they're going to get attacked and harassed.
Yeah,
and,
right. Right. Yeah. Right. But
I think that's part of the problem that they're not addressing with the Gavin Newsom, like he's going to come in. Joe Biden looked like a flyover country person, right? I'm from Scranton, even though the guy is a total prick.
Yeah.
No,
Gavin looks like a prick. You can't dress him up to look anything other than like an arrogant West Coast piece of shit pretty boy.
That's right.
He oozes off of him. He doesn't know how to relate to the common man. I mean, retail politician, nowhere near Gavin Newsom. You know he's not. Well, I hear he's charismatic. I hear he's charming. But that only goes so far, especially with black country.
Yeah. Well, I got to give the guy props for, there are few people that can spout bullshit better than this guy. I mean, in that sense, I actually admire him. He's a really, really good slick talker.
He lies with a straight face.
Right. But they used to call Bill Clinton Slick Willie, and Bill had nothing on this guy.
No. Bill wanted to be liked.
Yes.
Bill had some form of a standard, even if they were bad standards. He wanted to be liked. He wanted to continue winning. He wanted to pretend to curry favor with the American people.
And also, he didn't come from money, so he knew how the average person thought, you know? But
Yeah.
He wasn't having the wine and crackers during COVID without the mask.
No.
I mean,
he had no problem. That's the thing. He had no problem going and hanging out with... When it looked like he was getting ready to go, and frankly, had Larry Elder not gotten his ass in there, we might have gotten rid of Gavin Newsom. When it looked like he was about to be recalled, he literally took a drive, or should I say, he didn't take a drive. His driver drove him from one end of the state to the other, and he admitted this to the press. Well, you know, I've never traveled across my state by car. So, you know, it'll be interesting to, I'm just like, what, you idiot. I mean, even the richest of rich people will take a road trip.
Yeah.
You never bothered to drive your state and you're the governor of the state?
Yeah. Right.
Well, Jennifer, here's my theory. The Democrats like to tout this guy as the next great coming. I don't think that American public is going to buy him. I don't.
It's part of the gaslighting.
Yeah.
But there's enough idiot progressives, even here in Alabama, who are just wowed and snowed and think all that he spouts is gold.
I got to tell you guys, I got a friend of mine who watches this show. I talked to him a few days ago, and he said, yeah, here's what I get out of your show. Two things, idiots and conspiracies. I said, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, they're idiots. Thank you, Jennifer. They are. Oh, man. I'm done with my list. You guys got anything else, Jeff? You usually have something.
If you missed, Jason Whitlock is sitting in for Glenn Beck this week on the Glenn Beck Show. His opening monologue today, fabulous, of a African-American man talking about connecting the dots of what a mess we're in, all from the perspective of my dad owned a small bar, my mom worked, and he is just a God-centered man, and he just let the system have it. Never took it, just kept punching for 14 minutes. If you missed it, I highly recommend people go find Jason Whitlock's opening monologue on the Glenn Beck Show today. If you're confused about what's happening to you, he clarifies it gently, but with a big fist of punch, 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 punch. I was supposed to be in a meeting. I left my earbud in on a video call. I just didn't want to miss it. It was a bunch of yammering business people talking nonsensical shit. When this guy, to me, I like his perspective on life. More importantly, I like he understands the American dream. His parents were small business owners, which is always anchors people to how bad the system is.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Across race, right. Across gender. The system is built to enslave you as an uncompensated tax collector. And we have to break that. If people collect taxes for you to pay to the government, they should have some reward for doing that work for you, because the government believes you're too stupid to do it.
Right.
Well, I got to, if you know what I'm saying, so I'm going to pat all three of us on the back here, because you're talking about punching, Jeff, you know. Okay, so maybe I got 65 people. We got, what, 65 people watching this right now or whatever. And the two of you, you got a little bit bigger audiences, but still, we're not the New York Times. But collectively, I mean, David Strom, my friend over at Hot Air, he talks about this all the time. Collectively, maybe we're making a difference, you know. We keep punching, you know. And Mark Morano said that at the end of my interview last night, too. He said, you know, it's like it's the collective force of doing this over and over and over again. And it does seem like the average person is starting to slowly figure out that all this is bullshit. They're actually starting to figure it out, you know.
It's going to crack. As well as, you know, people know that they cannot trust the legacy media. I mean, media is at an all-time low in terms of trust.
Yeah.
But not everybody has tuned into their alternatives, and some have.
Right. And Jen, I don't know if you guys saw this. I don't know if you saw this, and I can't remember what news I read this on, about the fact, somebody ran an article on the fact that the Democrats are quietly alarmed by the fact that so many of their ilk have basically switched teams. Have announced that, you know, they're either becoming independents or they're becoming Republicans, but they're leaving the Democratic Party. And they can't understand why. Why would you do that? You know, it's like, what's wrong with this? I don't know.
And I believe that will happen, Jim, if the Republicans somehow get Nikki Haley on the ballot for the Republicans.
Uh-huh.
Like Mark Morano said, I'm voting for RFK Jr. I mean, it. I'm not going in like I did for Dole.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney. Well,
they're legally trying to stop RFK Jr. And the no-label folks.
Yeah.
Because they know that if they run, bye-bye Biden.
Right. And he said,
if Nikki Haley runs as a Republican, bye-bye Republican Party.
Republican Party,
I'm not going to not vote. I'm going to vote for RFK Jr. Next president. I mean, these people they're just humans. They're coming in with their human flaws. They get 4 years, maybe eight, and then they move on.
Jeff, you and I have talked about this offline, though. And I don't know if I mentioned this during the interview with Mark last night or not, but the thing about RFK is that, I mean, there's a lot of political positions I disagree with him on, but if the shit hit the fan, I trust his judgment. That's the thing. You know, I think he would make the right decision. You know, I just have he just seems grounded in reality. Jen, I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, but you know,
I like his stance on how he handled the COVID crisis and his opinions on that and his insight on that and the way he does fight for medical freedom.
Yeah.
But does that translate to, but he's still a gun nut, a gun control nut. He's still for killing babies.
I got the same thing.
Those things matter to society as well.
They do. Yeah. There's a lot of positions of his I disagree on, but I still, if he became president, worst things could happen. That's what I think. You know, it's like,
again, he could be another Clinton. He could understand how to not disrupt the economy.
Yeah.
But one thing is he's going to question the system, and that's what we need. Why did my uncle get shot? Here's all the documents. Not we're going to parse them out to you, and don't trust the medical world.
Yeah. Oh hell. Why did?
What we need to do is we need to shake up. Frankly, I think everybody needs to shake up. Which is why it's wonderful that he is in the race, because things need to be shaken up.
Yeah, I just find
that actually who actually has a megaphone.
You guys are astute on this. I found it amazing that people were saying that he was going to take more votes away from Trump than Biden. I thought that's bullshit, and it turns out I was right. All the polling is like he's taking away. It's like, what the hell? It's more gaslighting. They're lying again. Right. Like, right. Shit. Oh, man. Okay, now I'm depressed.
Don't say that when I'm on your show. That's what everyone writes you.
That's right.
You're so depressing.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah, that Jeff Meyer, he's so depressing. Yeah. Hey, folks. Thank you. I really appreciate this.
Thank you.
Now you know we're on a hook to do this once a month. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. So we'll see. Well, Jeff, we're going to see you in a couple of weeks, but we'll do this again in mid January.
I'm so glad to reconnect with you again. It's awesome. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Yeah.
Yes. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas,
and
happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. It's like Hanukkah's over. Kwanzaa's not until the day after. It's Christmas time. Merry Christmas.
I got to start celebrating Kwanzaa, I guess. I don't know. I am the whitest guy on earth, but whatever. Okay, folks, I'm going to let you go, all right? You guys take care. Right. Thank you. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Jennifer Ottavo O'Connell and Jeff Meyer. We're going to link to Jennifer's piece she talked about at Red State. I'll find that. I will put it on our blog at jimandknight.com. So always wonderful to talk to them. That was great. Great discussion there. All right. So I got some science news. Not necessarily. I was advertising the show description of UFO news, but no, it's not really UFO news. It's actually science news. And this is kind of really cool shit here. So I don't know if you guys saw this. I can't even remember what show it was. About a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the fact that there was a big breakthrough in quantum physics and that they finally were able to control a quantum entanglement. Now, I guess I got to explain what this is again. So the thing is, so if you take a molecule or an atom and you spin the electrons a certain way, which they can do, and then separate that molecule into two separate molecules, the matching electron in the separated molecule communicates instantaneously with the one you're spinning in the other molecule. And I'm not talking about speed of light instantaneous. It's actually instantaneous. In other words, you take these molecules and you put them a billion miles away and they will still spin at exactly the same time. It's faster than the speed of light. Nobody knows why this happens, but that process is called quantum entanglement. So for the first time ever, and I've been saying for years, we're going to have quantum radios because this would allow people to communicate instantly through space. It's what they call on Star Trek the subspace transmission. That's what they called it. It would be the same. You'd have instantaneous radio wherever you went. Because right now, it's fast. And I got a story coming up about that too. It's as fast as the speed of light can go. So if you know you're out, if you're watched a Space Odyssey, 2001, the Space Odyssey, when they were in Jupiter, and it takes about 4 hours for the radio communication there at the speed of light. Well, this would be instantaneous. You'd actually be able to talk like on a regular, walkie-talkie or internet connection, right? Okay, so 2 weeks ago, they finally figured out how to control that. They'd never been able to control it before. 2 weeks later, just a mere 2 weeks later, somebody has they have mastered the quantum communication. They sent the picture through through space with quantum using quantum entanglement. So they actually did it. It only took them, I don't know how long people have been working on this or whatever, but then you got to control the reaction before you can actually do it. So maybe they were working out at the same time. I don't know. But a mere 2 weeks later, they cracked this. Which this is thrilling. So the deal is, and not only that, you have to understand there's no actual transmission of information. Nothing's being transmitted. In other words, you can't crack this because you can't grab anything in mid-transmission. What happens is they send one single proton from one of the from any atom that they're dealing with. Of course, you know, even if you're dealing with a photograph, you're talking about trillions of them. You send one single proton through a laser beam across space. Now that's at the speed of light, but only one. You only have to do it once, and once the recipient has the molecule from, or the proton from the original transmission, at that point, it's all instantaneous. And nothing actually goes through space. You change it on one end, it automatically changes on the other end. You resolve the picture on one end, and you get a picture on the other end. It's really fucking amazing. And they finally figured this out. And this is going to just blow shit wide open. Now, along with this, and this is regular light speed radio, so NASA actually used a laser beam to send, to stream high definition, ultra high definition 4K video 19 million miles across space to a satellite they have. Actually, it went the other way. It went from the satellite here. So they sent a 15 second test video across 19 million miles, roughly 80 times the distance from the Earth to the Moon, at a maximum bit rate of 267 megabits per second. Now, just as a comparison, your internet connection at home probably runs around 50-60 megabits, and the one you have at the office probably runs about 100. So this was 267 megabits by using a laser beam. So it doesn't really speed the transmission up. As a matter of fact, the delay on the streaming is 101 seconds, but they streamed it at ultra high definition video, and that has been impossible just because you're using the laser to actually transmit the information. The bandwidth is so much larger. That's the reason. So now that maybe isn't quite as cool as the quantum a communication thing, but still, it's like, I mean, and this is not developing science. They actually did this, so that's kind of cool too. And finally, and this is kind of because I used to work in the music business, so this is kind of dear to my heart here, and I have some strong feelings about this. On January 1st, the Walt Disney Company is going to finally lose their original copyright to Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse will be in the public domain, because it's been 95 years since Steamboat Willie was released in 1929. That's the reason. 1928? Yeah, so it's going to be 96 years, so that is why it's expiring. And you're thinking, well, why is that a big deal? Because the Constitution actually addresses copyright law, and it says in there, I think I'm quoting this correctly, it says that the creators of works enjoy the fruits of their labor for a quote-unquote limited amount of time. Now, the problem is, copyright in the United States and also throughout the rest of the world, because most of the world emulated us, it was two 56-year periods. No, I'm sorry. It was two 26-year periods where you had one renewal. In other words, you could do it up to 52 years. Got it? So yet you used to copyright a work, and you got 26 years on the first one, then you had to reapply, you had another 26 years, then you were done. So 52 years later, the work falls into the public domain, which means that anybody can use it without paying either the publisher or the author, right? That's the way it works. Well, these corporations, and when I mean these corporations, I'm talking specifically about Disney, because they were one of the big instigators on this. They kept lobbying. In the 1970s, they started lobbying Congress about extending copyright. And now copyright, if I'm right, if it's assigned to a person, it's the length of the author's life plus 75 years. In other words, after the author dies, for the next 75 years, his estate can collect royalties. Or if you're a corporation, it's 95 years if you're not an actual person. So and this was extended several times, but now they reached a point, and when they hit 95 years, and I got them, and now I can't remember off the top of my head why, there's kind of a legal, practical reason they can't really extend it anymore, or it's not really to Disney's advantage if they do, or something like that. And I can't remember the reason. I should have written that down, if I read that down here. But the thing is, so now the first version of Mickey Mouse from that original 1928 cartoon is now going to be fall under public domain, which means that you can use that version, but it's very narrow. You can only use the version that was drawn in that cartoon. So you can draw Mickey Mouse, but it has to look exactly like that. They changed Mickey Mouse in later reiterations, so it's not any sort of modern reiteration you have the rights to, only that particular version of Mickey Mouse. But the fact is, they've been putting this off for a long time. I mean, Congress has gone along with this, and the reason this is kind of dear to my heart is that I think this was extended way too long. It's like there is a lot of benefit to society, which is the reason this is actually in the Constitution. There's a lot of benefit to society to making works available via public domain. There is. And the thing is, yeah, okay, you know, authors deserve some payment, you know, and I'm a composer. I've written music. I deserve some payment, but I don't know if I deserve payment for, like, you know, 130 years. I don't know if I do, you know. I don't know if my family needs payment after I'm dead. So they've got this. They've managed to do this. Mostly was pushed by these major corporations who didn't want to lose the copyrights on their original works. So now slowly, now of course, Steamboat Willie was the very first film ever released by the Walt Disney Company, and so now you will see as these over the years now these films like Fantasia, Snow White, you know, the first ones are going to end up in the public domain. So if you want it, you can, you know, even sell them without having to pay anybody. So I'm glad this is finally happening. There was a thing for the longest time. We didn't have copyright and recorded works here in the United States up to 1978. And this applied to all of the Beatles records. So there were copyright for music especially is extremely complicated because you have words, music, and recordings, and they all go under different copyrights. So, but up until 1978, there was no copyright in recordings in the United States. In other words, so you could take a Beatles record and you could repress it and resell it and not have to pay anybody, including the Beatles. You could do that. We were the only country in the world where you could. All the other countries had instituted that already. Just like we had another weird thing here in the United States, too. We're the only country on the planet where terrestrial radio, and this is, I'm just talking about radio stations, you know, AM radio, FM, local radio stations, they have to pay the authors, the composers and lyricists of songs, they have to pay them royalties, but they don't pay for the actual recordings. Now, they fixed that. Pandora, Spotify, they do. Anything that's done online, you have to actually pay them for you have to pay a royalty on the recording copyright too. But believe it or not, regular radio stations don't. And we're the only country in the world where that's true. And the National Association of Broadcasters, bless their little hearts, have gone out of their way in lobbying Congress to make certain it doesn't get changed. So, and that's also one of the reasons you probably heard Spotify and Pandora bitch, if you pay attention to this in the press, about the fact that that so many of their payments to musicians are so high. But, you know, shit, that's the product, you know? I mean, I think the estimate I've heard is that both of them pay about 70% of their revenue back out to the recording artists. Well, yeah, but that's the product. You know, you're using somebody else's product, you know? I mean, I don't think 70% is that unusual. I don't. So, any rate. And that said, too, the other thing is, and you probably heard this too, Taylor Swift aside, because she's kind of like a totally different phenomena, artists aren't making anywhere near as much money streaming their music as they used to get selling albums. Not even close. You know, I mean, you can, you know, as a ballpark figure through a major record company, if you put out a record, you or your group or whoever the artist is usually got about a dollar off of every sale of every album. So if you sell 10 million albums, that's 10 million bucks. Then that doesn't even count the amount of money you get from royalties from them playing your music on the radio. So music has always been very lucrative up until recently. Where, I mean, I've heard stories about artists who have millions, have had millions of streams of songs, who've got checks for like $15, $20, you know. So it's that things have changed. Taylor Swift is a world of her own. So she's so massively popular. She's still making shitloads of money off of streaming music. It's really it's a phenomenon. I'll be perfectly blunt with you here too. She's a very, very smart woman and a fantastic performer, but I think that music's terrible. I think she's, as a songwriter, I think she's awful. I mean, she basically took her high school diary and set it to music. I mean, shit. You know, it's just crap to me. But it fits an audience, and her audience is adolescents still, you know. And, you know, teenage girls, they go gaga over that shit. I admit she's a very smart businesswoman. And also, as far as I can tell, she's a very, very good arena performer. And that's kind of an art in and of itself, too. So it's not so much, she's a very, very talented woman, just not at writing music. That's what I think. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So our thanks again to Jennifer Oliver O'Connell and Jeff Meyer for joining us. For the first thing of the at night, the first appearance on the At Night Tag Team tomorrow night. I've already decided this afternoon, no politics. It's the last show of the year and our last show before Christmas. And we got Santa's coming on. Yes, Santa's going to be here. So you want to tune in and say, Santa might be a little in the bag. you never know. So, any rate, so I want to thank you folks for watching. Always really appreciate it a lot. I should mention this with our interview with Mark Morano yesterday. We finally cracked 900 followers on Rumble. We've been stuck at like 890 forever. Well, we finally cracked it last night, so that's kind of cool. So I want to thank you for watching. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you are. We'll see you tomorrow night.